In 1959, there was a song not written by Frank Sinatra, but Sinatra sang it, and it became fairly popular. It was a song, High Hopes. It talked about how can this little ant move this rubber tree plant, right? But he's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes, and went on to say how this ant couldn't possibly move this rubber tree plant, those high hopes. But this morning, as we look at the Israelites, they didn't have high hopes. They had really no hope at all. The Midianites, these mean enemies to the north of them, had been attacking Israel for 7 years now, and Israel didn't seem to have any hope in getting relief from these mean Midianites. You see, the Israelites had fallen away. They had forgotten about God. They had returned from, they were, had forgotten about how God had freed them from Egypt, slavery there, taken them to the promised land eventually. And now they were again, the Israelites were again worshiping Baal, worshiping these false idols. They had forgotten about God. But yet, God was still there for them. You know, it's always amazing to me how similar we are to the Israelites. How we as American Christians are pretty similar to the Israelites in the fact that we too often forget about God. Now, we may not put him completely out of our minds, but yet we don't really put him as a high priority place in our life often, do we? We often sort of forget about him, especially when things are going well, huh? When your life is going really well, it's easy to just live life and not really think about God. Everything's going so good. But then when tragedy strikes or you go through a trial in your life, then you return to God. Then we cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me. We come back to him. And that's really what the Israelites did. They had forgotten, they had fallen away from God, and now 7 years after these Midianites, these mean Midianites come in and attack them, and the Israelites were scared stiff. They would hide in the caves. Poor Gideon would hide by a wine press as he threshed his wheat, which is the worst place you can go to thresh wheat would be by a wine press. They were scared stiff. But yet, then they cried out to God. For 7 years, these Midianites had been coming in and destroying their crops, taking their food away from them, all because they had forgotten about God. And we, too, forget about God sometimes, as I said, especially when things are going well. But then when tragedy strikes, we cry out to God, and we remember him just like the Israelites did as well. But often, too, we are like the Midianites, or we are like the Israelites, in that the Midianites had been attacking the Israelites. The Israelites were under attack by these mean Midianites. And Christians today are also under attack. We need to realize that. Now, we may not physically be attacked like the Israelites were. We may not have to give up our life. We may not have to give up our physical health because of the attacks, although in many places of the world they do. There is persecution going on in the other parts of the world. Christians are being killed and persecuted on a daily basis. Thank God here in America, we do not have to physically pay the price for being a Christian. But yet we're under attack, aren't we? We're under attack by these modern-day Midianites, and they attack us in a subtle kind of way. And these attackers range, from those who tolerate the Christian church, who tolerate the things of God, to all the way to the other extreme where they're certainly anti-church, anti-Christian. Whatever Christianity says, oh, no, can't have that. And so in a subtle way, the Christian church, in a subtle way, Christianity is being attacked today by these modern-day Midianites who want to come away and do away with Christianity eventually. And so these modern-day Mennonites, they come and they say, well, you know what? As long as you believe something, you're okay. Just believe it wholeheartedly with your heart, and you're going to be fine. There is no morals. It's all individual morality. If it's okay for you, then hey, it's fine. It's okay. You only live once. So go for all the gusto you can. Live your life to the fullest. Be happy. Just do whatever you want to do. As long as you physically don't hurt anybody else, just go for it. Live your life as you please. God's laws, oh no, they're archaic. They're out of date. Those Ten Commandments don't mean anything. That was so long ago. And these modern-day Midianites, in this subtle way, tried to get us to believe that Christianity is out of date, that we want to just live our lives as we please and go for all the gusto you can with yourself. Well, who did God send to help the Israelites? He sent the most unlikely person you would think of, a guy named Gideon. Gideon, who defines himself as the weakest in a weak clan. He says he's the weakest in a weak nation. That's Gideon. That's who God is calling to rescue his people, the Israelites, from these mighty, mean Midianites. He's calling Gideon. This scrawny little guy is going to help save God's people against this mighty army called the Midianites. Are you kidding me, God? Why would you call him? He's so weak. He's so small. He's so insignificant. He's the weakest among the weakest clan. Why would you call him? But as we see, Gideon was a great man of God who took that calling, who took the calling of God, and as you may recall from your Sunday school lessons those years ago, actually would help in defeating those Midianites with a lot less number of people than the Midianites had. But today, as we go a little bit deeper into that story, we can see some lessons that Gideon can teach us today that we can apply to our lives today that come to help us in the year 2017. And the first one is that Gideon teaches us to appreciate adversity. Appreciate adversity. Now, when I say appreciate, we don't mean like or enjoy adversity, because I don't think there's anybody in here who enjoys adversity, who says, oh yeah, I just look forward. I can't wait for my next adversity to come in my life. No, we don't like it. We don't like adversity. It's tough. But yet we as Christians have to go through it. We as Christians are barred from adversity. And certainly God's people were not barred from adversity. The Israelites were being attacked by the Midianites for 7 years. We too are under attack. We too have to go through adversity. But we go through it and we end up with it on the other end stronger in our faith. We end up being refined. We end up stronger as we turn to God in that time of adversity. Somebody once says you have to go through the trial in order to get to the triumph. And how true that is. Adversity, then, is the training ground for God's glory. As we do it all for God's glory. He trains us. He helps us become stronger in our faith as we go through the trials and tribulations in our life. And you look throughout Scripture, and a lot of the people in Scripture had to go through adversity. Joseph was put in prison before he lived in the palace. David, one of the great kings of Israel, had to flee for his life before he became king of Israel. Paul, the great man of God, was in the desert for 3 years, being convinced by Barnabas that his conversion was good, and he could be the great missionary that he ended up being. Even Jesus himself had some adversity early on in his life. After he was born, Mary and Joseph had the dream that he should take the child down to Egypt because Herod was out to kill the young babies then. And so Jesus and Mary and Joseph flee down to Egypt before they could actually settle into their home of Nazareth. Adversity is part of life, and we need to realize that it makes us stronger in our faith as we go from trial to triumph. God leads us along the way. But Gideon also teaches us another important lesson, not only to appreciate adversity, but he also teaches us to accept our identity. Accept our identity. Gideon was this weak, strongly little guy who never thought could be the hero to lead the mighty Israelite army against the Midianites. But God called him a mighty warrior. Gideon, you weak little scrawny guy, God says you're a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. You're a sinner. You've not lived the way God wants you to live, but God calls you his child. You're his forgiven child. You are his. He has adopted you into his family. Your new identity is Christian. You are a child of God. And God loves you and has forgiven you. No matter what you have done in your life, God says, you're forgiven. I love you. You are my child. God wraps his arms around us and says, come here, child. I love you. You are, yes, you're a sinner, but you're a saint. Luther reminded us that we are at the same time a sinner and a saint, forgiven, child of God through his eyes and what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Peter calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are children of the Almighty God himself. He has brought us into his family. So your new identity is that you're a child of God. So when you're feeling down, when you're feeling like nobody cares for you, when nobody loves you, nobody really cares for you, think that you're a child of God. You're his child whom Jesus loves so much that he was willing to go to the cross for and pay the price for you, God's child. Gideon was a mighty warrior. We are God's children. I love what somebody once said to describe our new identity. They said that we as Christians now are a blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound, fully equipped warrior of God. We're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven no matter what we've done. Spirit-filled, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us now. Heaven-bound, you know that you're going to heaven when you die. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And yet, he equips us to go through the adversity here in life because we're fully equipped. We're a warrior of God, a warrior for God as we live our lives here this side of heaven. So Gideon teaches us to accept our new identity. Accept your new identity and to appreciate adversity. But Gideon also then teaches us to act upon authority. Now, most of us, when we think of Gideon, we may recall back to that Sunday school story when Gideon puts out that fleece, and oh, if God, if this is you, you know, this, the fleece will get wet on this side, and then he does it again, the fleece gets wet on that side, so on and so forth. Now, was Gideon not trusting God? What was going on there? Gideon saying, I want to be sure that this is God's authority, that you're the one leading me, God, that you're the one saying to this scrawny little individual, I want you to be the mighty warrior to lead the people of God. You see, we too are not to act senselessly. We are not to take on a task that is seemingly unbearable without God's authority. Go on a mission trip for a week, live in a third world country, eat sort of disgusting food, pay for it all yourself. Sounds sort of nonsensical, but if God leads you to do it, that's what you're to do. The Sunday school leaders who are going to lead our children for a week, an hour every Sunday, and will put in many more hours preparing for their lessons. Unless God calls them, it's nonsense. But God calls them to do it, and we're thankful for that, as they act on God's authority to be leaders in the Sunday school program. Peter didn't walk on the water without Jesus telling him to do it. Come, come, Jesus says, walk on the water. And then Peter did. Now, if Peter would have done that without Jesus telling him, it's nonsense. But with God's authority, with Jesus telling him to do it, then he does it, and then it makes sense. Now, think about Gideon. He's down to 300 men, 300 warriors, to fight the Midianites who have 135,000. And God says, go to war with those 300. Nonsense. How can you win? It's 300 against 135,000 people. How can you win? But God tells him to do it. God tells him to take on those mean Midianites. And so he acts on God's authority, and he follows God's lead, and he does as he takes on those Midianites. Well, how do we know what God is directing us? How do we know what God's will is for us? Well, Peter tells us that we can discern God's will through his word and through the Holy Spirit. As we look at his word, the word directs us and guides us. And as we pray, the Spirit, as we pray for discernment, as we pray for guidance, the Spirit of God can lead us into those God-pleasing decisions that we have to make. Oh, Gideon was the least of the ones who thought he would be called to lead the people of Israel. He was one who certainly seemed like an ant to try and move that rubber tree plant. But God used him to defeat those mean Midianites, to accept his new identity as a mighty warrior. God wants you too. He wants you to not only accept, appreciate adversity, but accept your new identity and act on his authority. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Gideon, who was a leader after your own heart, who followed your authority. And Lord, help us to accept our new identity. We are your children. Lord, how thankful we are that you have brought us into your family. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.